the President's remarks to students on the White House seminar, South Lawn of the White House, August 27th, 1963.
Fellow students of government, I'm glad to welcome you to the White House to express our very warm appreciation to all of you for having come here to Washington and worked with us during the last 2 months. I hope that you will decide to come back, as many of you as can, because I think that your services are vitally needed. One third, Prince Bismarck said, one third of the students of German universities broke down from overwork, another third broke down from dissipation, and the other third ruled Germany. I do not know which third of the student body who've been studying here this summer is here today, but I am confident that I'm talking to the future rulers of America in the sense that all people who are citizens, and particularly those who are educated, bear a responsibility for the government of the United States. This is a most complex institution. It is an unfortunate fact of history, as we look around the world, that the number of people who are able to maintain this sensitive system of democracy and individual liberty are rather limited. It has been confined on the whole to a relatively few areas of the world. Most of the world moves through a far more centralized system of authority, which takes the ultimate responsibility upon the governors and not upon the people themselves. To make this very difficult, sensitive, and complicated system, which demands so much of us in the qualities of self-restraint and self-discipline, to make it possible for us to live together in harmony, to carry out those policies which provide domestic tranquility here at home and security for us abroad, requires the best of all of us. I can assure you that there is no career which you will adopt when you leave college that will bring you more greater sense of satisfaction and a greater feeling of participation in a great effort than will your work here or in your state or in your community. We sometimes think that the past days were the golden days, that the great figures in the Senate or the great presidents were the great presidents and the great senators, and that may be true, but the fact of the matter is that the problems that we deal with, however adequately or inadequately, the problems that we deal with in the 1960s dwarf all of the problems which this country dealt with the possible exception of the problems 100 years ago. Other than that, this generation of Americans, you here, who will be in positions of responsibility for the rest of this century, will deal with the most difficult, sensitive, and dangerous problems that any society of people have ever dealt with at any age. The fact of the matter is, through the whole 19th century, this country dealt with only 5 or 6 major problems. The right of states, the whole question of slavery, which was tied with states' rights, the tariffs, the development of the West, currency problems. In a generalized way, that war, those were the major issues of the 19th century. And Calhoun and Webster and Clay, who came to the Congress in the period 1810, 11, or 12, were talking about the same problems, the same 4 or 5 problems, 40 years later, in 1850, when they dominated the Senate. Now the problems come pouring across the desks of the American people in even a summer, which deal once again with the right of states. But the whole problem of space and our balance of payments and what happens in the Middle East and the relationships between Saudi Arabia and Yemen or in Latin America or in the Far East or in Saigon, problems which we can deal with in only a limited way, but problems which affect the security of the United States. So therefore, we have these highly complex, highly sophisticated questions upon which experts differ, and yet upon if our society has a solid foundation upon which the American people must make a final judgment. Even the discussion and debates upon the test ban only suggest the complexities of the problems about which we must make up our mind. As Mendes France said a decade ago, to govern is to choose. One of the senators said the other day to Dr. Teller, Doctor, why is it, to Dr. Brown, why is it that you and Dr. Teller, who are such experts, can be wholly in disagreement? Dr. Brown, who ran the laboratory out in California, where Dr. Teller now works, who now works at the Department of Defense. Dr. Foster, who opposes the treaty, who now runs the laboratory where Dr. Brown worked. Dr. Bradbury, who supports it, who runs Los Alamos. How does a senator, how does a president, how do the people of the United States make a final judgment? There is, of course, no easy answer. What it requires is finally a choice about what your estimate is of the great movements of history or the immediate movements. The security of your country, its well-being, the prospects for peace, the dangers of war, and the hope that it's possible to make progress in this rather small globe. Now, to make a judgment on that, or on balance of payments, or on what actions the federal government should take this summer in order to prevent an economic downturn in 1964, what is the mix of fiscal and monetary policy, which the situation requires in 63, when once again the experts differ, and they can be summoned to every office here on the Hill, and they will come to a different conclusion. That requires the best talent we can get to come to Washington and to stay home, but in any case to participate, to be not only an acquiescent bystander, but to be a participant who has a feeling, who takes a part, who doesn't read a daily column and have his mind made up for him, but instead attempts to the best of his ability to understand the great issues and then to attempt to have his view carried out and not leave it to those who have a specialized interest, who pour the mail upon us, who inundate us with their views while the great majority of the American people are unheard of. So that's what we're asking you to come back to this place and work on. The Greeks defined happiness as the full use of your powers along lines of excellence. And I can imagine no place where you can use your powers more fully, along lines more excellent, than in the 1960s to be in the service of the United States. We appreciate your coming here. You've done a good job. You've given us a opportunity to realize that the future is going to be in good hands, and we've been very proud to have you among us. Thank you.